The reading comes from the Gospel of John, the first chapter, verses 29 to 34. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me, who ranks ahead of me because he existed before me.' I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel." John testified further, saying, "I saw the Spirit coming down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God." John's Gospel starts with the wonderful prologue, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us." And then, echoing the feast of baptism of Christ last Sunday, this portion of the first chapter presents us with the remarkable situation where the witness of Christ, John the Baptist, must himself approach the Savior in faith and identify those signs through which Jesus becomes known. But it's a kind of chancy moment. So the remarkable statements, "I did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel," and again, "I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. He is the Son of God.'" John develops God's promise to Isaiah, "I will make you the light to the nations, that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth." As Catholics, we believe that Jesus is the unique manifestation of God's love for all humanity. A new challenge to this position arises when we realize that most of humanity could not have heard of Christ or be presented with a view of Jesus that would not be foreign to their inherited belief or culture or even personal experience of religion. The question arises, just how is Jesus, who is the fullness of God's revelation of love for all humanity, to be found among people of other religions or no religion at all? Perhaps we might find ourselves in the place of John the Baptist, trying to identify by faith the presence of God's redeeming love in those people who approach us. The Second Vatican Council expanded our vision of who may be saved, but theologians still actively dispute the particular, unique claims of Christianity that all are redeemed in and through Christ. We can identify signs of extraordinary goodness in many of the people we meet in our own culture or see in another culture outside the Christian tradition. What is it that we're looking for? Theologians continue to research this, but I'm looking for a practical solution. I need to know how to live. How do I identify the evidence of God's redeeming love in the people of my world? For instance, I may see a businessman or woman, a social worker, politician. And these people are simply admirable human beings. And yet, they may fall short of knowing or professing the unique pattern of life that we should like to follow as Christians. After a time, we may find ourselves adrift in all sorts of small compromises and lose the particular pattern of life that we hope to follow as Christians. Single-issue Christians don't even come close to the sort of richness of life and love that we hope to find in the following of Jesus. I think that, like John the Baptist, we need to speak out about the values we cherish as a Christian people. We can't afford to be silent, waiting for some charismatic figure to come along or for the church to expand itself into a position of social dominance, which is always suspect. Perhaps a clear example of this would be the position that the former Cardinal of Chicago, Joseph Bernardin, called the seamless garment. He held the full sweep of issues concerning life to be a unified position. His pro-life stance included opposition to abortion and capital punishment, as well as war, an informed sensitivity about suicide and the end-of-life issues. And I'd want to add to this and work to extend it, this kind of sensitivity to the quality of life I hope to live as a Christian. Like John the Baptist, I begin to recognize and encourage Christians and others who by their courage, honesty, and love step forward in life and make up the living body of Christ, rather than sit back and ruminate about whether such and such is actively sinful or something like that. I want to encourage us in our conversations and life choices to identify and acknowledge the deep down goodness we find in others, the heroic life-giving choices that are everywhere in life, and the way in which the promises of Christ are really being realized, not only among Christians, but among men and women of goodwill everywhere. The jury is still out on the exact theological formula that will show us how the beliefs of all men and women may be respected and yet how all may be included in the gesture of salvation which Jesus brings. Yet good religious practice and theory always follows from sound experience. I look to the judgment of John rising out of his recognition of the God of all life in Jesus as he approaches him for baptism. So in our judgments, our encouragement, our loving apprehension of the very life of God in the hearts and souls, even in the sufferings of our brothers and sisters, we build up that richness of life which reveals God's favor alive within us. Call it the body of Christ or grace still living. With John, we dare to look for signs which reveal the living God among us. Practically speaking, as a priest, this has caused me a dramatic change in my own self-image. I no longer look as myself as a priest or pastor for this particular parish only or people. I'm learning to be a priest who administer to all who need me, to all who care about the full revelation of Christ in our world. May God bless you in your choices of the Savior's love among us.